from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
The preseason is in the books. Now we look ahead to cutdown day tomorrow, the deadline 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. We welcome in Mike Catalano, 13WAM Sports Director. BuffaloPlus.com. It wasn't a very inspiring preseason, Mike, and I'm a little bit concerned going into the regular season that there's a lack of just overall talent that we haven't seen in a while on this roster. But let's start with something that we know is a certain. Like, Tyler Bass is the kicker of this team going into week one, at least as of right now. That's what we know. How concerned are you that early in this season, with Tyler Bass kind of struggling the way we've seen him struggle in practice, that could be a liability for this team here early on?
Yeah, guys, I've been concerned about Bass since the end part of last year, and then, of course, it played itself out even in the game. I watch him at practice like you guys did, especially at camp. Just didn't look like he was hitting the ball right. And I've had people respond to me and say, well, he made, you know, what did he make, 10 of his last 12? He made his kicks in the preseason except for the one at the end. He's just not hitting the ball right. He just isn't. And he had an issue with a kickoff. And he went wide right. It wasn't just wide right on that kick. I mean, we're talking about they didn't bring in any competition for him. They gave him the spot, said, go ahead, prove that you're back. And he didn't take it. He's still there. I'd say in part the contract, because you don't want to just jump and cut the guy if it's going to end up hurting you. And he's shown the ability. But honestly, when the way McDermott answered the question the other night about Bass, he was like, it's got to make that kick. I think it's a real issue. And to your point, Danger, it's like, I still think they're going to be a good team, but the margin for error gets smaller and smaller when you have not just different talent, maybe lesser in some spots. You can't afford to have the kicker missing makeable kicks for you, and that's what he's been.
Yeah, the tough part about this, Mike, is, all right, they decide to move on. It's not that easy, and I know, you know, Dan Fates and others say the salary cap is a myth. The dead cap hit for a kicker would be $7.3 million.
Yuck.
I don't even know if they have that much, Mike. You'd have to go restructure just to make a move at a kicker. I mean, just keep your fingers crossed or whatever other superstition might be the play here, and hopefully Bass
figures this out. Let me tell you something. They cut Stephon Diggs and took a massive cap hit. If they think he's not the kicker for them, they will cut him. Teams do not, you know, they aren't so beholden to the salary cap that they won't make moves. If Brandon Bean thinks we need a new kicker, this guy's not cutting it, he will be gone and they'll take the hit. I'm telling you, this is what they'll do. I mean, you're going to sit there with a guy if he's – now, I think it might give him a longer leash, and he could get his act together early in the year. You know, I just think that they are concerned about it. And I would not be stunned to see a kicker on the practice squad after cuts and all are made, that they pick up a kicker, put him there, and see what they've got. Because, you know, he struggled a little bit at the end of camp. No, no, no. Struggled at the end of last year, missed a makeable kick. And in the NFL now, 50-yarders are like 40-yarders used to be. You got to make them. In this league, you got to make them, and he's not doing it.
All right, so let's talk about tomorrow, 4 o'clock, the deadline to trim down to 53. Mike, there's a handful of positional battles that we think we might have some clarity on. I'm curious if there's somebody on the outside looking in tomorrow that might be a surprise in your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at it. I still think Joe Andreessen's going to make the roster.
Agreed.
I think he's going to make it early. You know, Bale Inspector's hurt. He's been hurt a lot. He was a seventh-round pick. I think they like a lot of what they've seen in Andreessen. Was he as good the other day as he was, you know, in Pittsburgh? No, but I think we're talking about backup linebacker, special teamer. He's healthy. He can run. It doesn't mean, listen, you know the way this goes. He could make the roster Tuesday, and 2 weeks into the season, he's cut and brought back on the practice squad. Like, that's the way it can go. But if you're thinking about a guy like that, I think he makes the team. I think Tyrell Shavers makes the team. Because I'm of the belief, and I don't know if you guys are too, that I think Hardy is going to be the kick returner. And I think he might even have a backup role in some way. He's shown a decent amount in terms of as a defensive back.
Yep.
Even though he's small, he's a tough kid. And I don't know, you know, sometimes when you look, you're trying to figure where these other spots are. I think they're going to have to do something at backup quarterback. I don't know if Mitch Trubisky is going to be healthy to be the backup to start the year. He didn't look great just walking around in Buffalo the other day. So that could be a place where they've got to pick up another guy. And then who knows what they do with the quarterbacks, whether Ben DiNucci is around as the third guy or they get somebody else in. I think that's really where it is. I don't see a lot of other, you know, really huge battles in either a line of scrimmage. I really don't see anything else.
Do you have Lael Collins making the team?
I think so because of his versatility in the league. But, you know, that's one of those things that we always joke about. We don't know what they really think because he hasn't been a prominent player with the Bills, obviously. So I may be sitting here thinking, yeah, I think he'll be on the roster. And they're thinking he's gone. Like, they'll rather keep a younger player.
Right.
So that'll be interesting to see. And as you guys know, too, because of some injuries at linebacker, injuries at safety, you know, they could be keeping some extra players in one spot or another that it changes a few weeks into the year. And the whole practice squad thing, I'm normally not a guy who's sitting there with every player going, they cut him, somebody's picking him up. Because we know how this usually goes. But actually, I do think if Andreessen gets cut, I think he would get picked up.
Hmm.
I think he'd shown enough that he would get picked up. And that spot is a pretty easy plug and play for teams. Basically, you're a special teams guy and a backup linebacker. So I don't know if Shavers would. He showed a good amount, but I think there's other players that, like Bale Inspector, I think they could get back on the practice squad if they released him.
We're talking to 13 Wham Buffalo Plus Mike Catalana as one other position that we're all kind of scratching our head. What is the plan at safety here, Mike? Certainly, Rapp is going to be one of the starters. Did Mike Edwards, is he going to have enough work ready or not? Is he actually going to see significant time coming up, knowing that he missed most of training camp and pretty much all of the spring? And Hamlin and everybody else, certainly Cole Bishop, I'm not sure what his timeline is either for a return here.
Yeah, I think Bishop would be the one you'd probably hold off on, only because he has no experience and he's never played in the NFL and he missed that time. These guys will be back practicing. We'll find out at what level. I think some of that depends on what Hamlin's injury is. You know, keep in mind, as you guys know, you start out on Sunday and then you come right back with a game on Thursday. So that's quick, especially coming off a hamstring. Both guys really are. You got him and Edwards. Edwards was out there pregame running around a little bit in uniform. So I would think he's going to practice pretty fully with these opportunities that he gets. But DeMar certainly has the snaps, at least for early in the year. So if he's healthy, I guess I would say it would be Rapp and DeMar and Edwards as a backup. I think eventually Edwards is the starter next to Rapp. And I think at some point, you know, we've talked about it before where they go to that dime package where they bring in, last year it was a third safety, and really they put Poyer in that spot. I could see a time when Cole Bishop ends up being that dime back that they bring in, a little bigger, a little better in run support, and you play with one linebacker. So I think they'll all have roles, but if you were playing a game today and he was healthy, I think DeMar probably starts because he's had that many snaps.
Mike, what about the health of MVS? Do we know the severity of that neck injury? What was the latest that we heard late last week from Sean McDermott? Do you think he's out there week one? Was that neck injury not severe enough to force any sort of long-term absence?
Wasn't that interesting that Sean actually gave somewhat news on injuries, where he basically said he didn't think anybody outside of Milano was out for the opening game.
Right, but your eyes are seeing something different, right? I mean, you're talking about Trubisky hobbling all over the place with a bum knee.
Right. And with MVS, honestly, I mean, here's where you're making this decision. I think he's going to make the roster. And the question is, who gets put on IR that's not ready for 4 weeks, if that's the case? My guess is MVS would probably be the type of player that would be on the roster inactive at the beginning of the year if he's still not healthy. That's big decisions they have to make. And that's where they, you know, when we talk about their actions telling you what they really think, that's when they tell us what they really think about how injured that guy is. And it makes sense to just leave him out for four games because he's not going to be able to do anything. I don't think they want to cut him. You know, we've talked about Allen has liked him. It's weird the way camp went. He just didn't do a lot, but I think his skill set is unique in this offense as a guy who can run down the field. I mean, you know, you got to catch the ball. That's something that would be nice. Like, kicker's got to make the kick and wide receiver's got to catch the ball. But my guess is he's on the roster, but likely doesn't have a role in the early part of the year.
What about guys who are not on the Bills roster right now? They're actually on another team's roster. I, for example, I see Kansas City bringing back Juju Smith-Schuster, who was let go. I'm like, good for them. He's got familiarity. And reading how Trent Sherfield is on the bubble in Minnesota, are those the types of moves that maybe, if you're looking waiver wire, not necessarily talent, but guys that might have some familiarity with what's going on here in Buffalo?
I don't see Trent Sherfield coming back. I mean, he really never could come up with a role last year. And now, I mean, they have players at wide receiver. When we can argue about the length of talent, I honestly think every guy in that room now is more talented as a wide receiver than Trent Sherfield. And he's an okay player, but, you know, he did make that nice catch in the Miami game when he pulled in the deflected pass for the touchdown, but he really didn't have a role last year. I don't think there was any thought of really bringing him back. You know, it's interesting. I don't necessarily – I guess there's always a possibility. Like, I saw Jahan Dotson, the Eagles ended up picking him up. He's a talented guy, been around. Like, if they were really looking, could have made a move for him. I think it's a repeat of some of the skill set that they do have on this team. I mean, I'm going under the idea that Curtis Samuel will be ready to go. You got Khalil Shakir. You've got Keon Coleman, and they're going to play a lot of two tight end sets. So, I mean, to suit up and get ready to go in week one, I don't know. Honestly, I don't really think they're going to be making some substantial move at wide receiver. But, you know, you like you were saying, you don't know who pops free. It's interesting for Kansas City. Like, they've had a weird offseason. They're really pushing the Xavier Worthy role on the team, at least in camps down there. But, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, it's fine. I can see why they did something like that. But I don't know if there's anybody that the Bills would be bringing back. Gabe's not going to get cut in Jacksonville, is he?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's funny, Mike, because if you would have asked me at the end of training camp, what's the number? How many players that aren't on this roster right now will the Bills sign after cutdown day? And I think my answer was two.
Two.
Two felt like, yeah, that feels about right. And if you're asking me today, I say none. I say they've spent the last 2 weeks convincing us and convincing themselves that guys like Andreessen and guys like Shavers they don't need to go out because these are the guys that they have and these are the guys that they're going to work with rather than bring an outsider in.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're talking about like the Shavers could be on the roster but not active of the, you know, once you put in the, you know, put in the active players for the game.
Sure.
Same could be, I guess, with a guy like Andreessen would probably play because he'd play special teams. It depends on how they look at it. I'm not saying there wouldn't be guys there. Like, and listen, I think they need another quarterback.
Yeah.
I didn't like the Trubisky signing when they brought him back. You know, I heard somebody saying that, you know, he had done well when he was here before. You know, not really. He never played. And then he ends up going to Pittsburgh, and that didn't go well. And now he's back. And I don't see I didn't like the signing. And it's a 2-year deal, and I got to look at the numbers to see. But I think they probably are in need of another quarterback, and they could make a deal. Like, you know, they love vibes in the quarterback room, so there's a chance Kyle Allen is back because he's probably going to get cut by the Steelers. And if they need somebody early, there's a guy who knows what's going on. But if you're sitting here looking for, like, wow, this guy got cut and the Bills are going to pick him up, not exactly sure what position that would be. I think you're right. I think they are – maybe they have convinced themselves that they're comfortable with the roster they're going to have, but I don't see a major move. I don't see a major move in any of these spots. I think it's all just on the fringes of what this roster is
going to
be.
If they're going to go get another quarterback, Mike, I would hope there'd be a better option other than Kyle Allen, but you brought up the familiarity. Is that, maybe flaw is too strong a word, but is that something the Bills lean on maybe just a little too much rather than going and getting the best guy? We're getting somebody who's good, but certainly knows the system.
Listen, I think Josh is at the point now with his skill set and the amount of years he's been in the league. I want to see them have a real developmental quarterback that could show something. That could come in, you know, not Jake Fromm, because I didn't like him physically for the job in any way. Honestly, I would like to – they keep going this route of bringing in a veteran, you know, good guy behind Josh and all. And I always stress this, and I've stressed it to you guys. Your backup quarterback, you hope he never plays. It's not about if Josh Allen's out for the season, he's going to carry you to the Super Bowl. It's if Josh is out 2 games, can he come in and get one of them for you? I don't have a lot of faith in Trubisky. I didn't have a ton in Kyle Allen either. It's like I see these guys and I think to myself, I'm only telling you what I think they'll do.
Yeah.
I want to see, and I'm not saying Anthony Brown that they just brought in, but I like a different skill set, you know, that could really do something in the short term for you if you needed it. And I guess we can all wait to see. There's going to be guys maybe cut loose. Every team is going to try to hold on to players and then say, what do we do at the deadline? Can we make a deal? Can we trade somebody? And then they can't. They end up cutting them loose. But I would be on the lookout for somebody else if I was them, but I don't know how aggressive they'll be.
It's a weird feeling, Mike, because you still have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You have a coach who's won the division consecutive years, and I don't know. I don't feel great going into this season. I think a lot of Bills fans are being realistic and don't feel great going into this season. So what, in your opinion, should we feel good about? What do you feel good about when you're talking about this team and you know, that goes beyond the head coach and the quarterback.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a big two. And then I do look at it, and I do think the offense will be okay. I don't think it's going to be spectacular, but I think Allen himself just – I don't necessarily know if he elevates his teammates. He just elevates the team because he will make plays for you. And I do have faith, you say McDermott, I do have faith in the way they coach players up. I mean, this team, you know, it's funny. We were talking about how they lose a game or two every year that they have no business losing. Like they lost to New England, to Mac Jones. They lost that game down in Jacksonville. They lose these games. But somehow they figure out a way, they figured out a way to still win the division and be a high seed. Like look at what happened last year.
Yeah.
They've found a way. I do think they have talent. Like, I'm not sitting here looking at them and going, wow, this is a lousy roster. I would say top to bottom, I think I probably like the Jets roster ahead of the Bills, but I like the quarterback a lot more in Buffalo than I like the guy with the Jets. He's got the trophy or the MVPs and all that, but Allen's a much better football player than him right now. And I think that makes a bigger difference. And they obviously have a superior coaching staff. I'm not a big fan of Saleh and what they do with the Jets. And Miami's Miami. So it starts in the division. I mean, if you're the Dolphins, they're coming off with a lot of injuries. They have the flash. There's no doubt about it. But, I mean, honestly, we'll see what happens opening game. I think that'll dictate what a lot of people think. But when they take the field down there on that Thursday night, you're telling me you don't have faith in Josh Allen to go down there and win in Miami again because he always does it. So if you're a Dolphins fan, you're hoping that flips. I think the Jets are their bigger challenger this year because they've played the Bills really tough. They've beaten them, it feels like, every year. And now they do have a legitimate quarterback.
Well, Mike, you've stressed to us in the past, it's like when you play teams means so much. And, that is going to be a tough game that Thursday night. It's a short week. You're going down to Miami. Who knows what the weather will be like. You just look ahead. Miami, Jacksonville, a potential playoff team with a quarterback who could make some plays here. And then that three-game road trip where you get Baltimore, Houston, the Jets here. When you kind of take a look at the picture of that opening, is it making it more imperative that the Bills got to get this one against Arizona week one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and listen, opening day, we all know. Like, opening day, teams are – you don't really know what teams are going to do. You don't know what happens. Somebody's got something figured out on this new kickoff. It's Kyler Murray running around, and you can't figure out how to stop him. Harrison goes – you don't know. I'm telling you, you can win the game by a point, 3, 6, 20, whatever it is. You got to figure out a way to win the opener. And then you play – You play a little looser when you go to Miami. It's obviously a division game and all that, but it's a quick turnaround. But they do feel good when they go down there. And then you come home, like, at some point you're going to have to win these games. That stretch is really, really tough. You know, that is three in a row. I mean, two of the teams really physical, I would say, of the three. And the other one is Houston. So that's a really tough stretch. So you got to go. You got to get a few wins here early. You know, let's just say the two home games before you get into that, so that you know you don't put yourself so far behind. Because I think right now, that's one of those, right? That stretch is like got to get one. It would be awesome to get two, and then go ahead, wish for all three. But I think that's the way you look at that three game stretch when we get to October.
Mike, what are you, Dan, and Jenna working on at BuffaloPlus.com here in a 13-WAM Sports to get us ready for that Week 1 matchup against Arizona?
So we just we'll be posting today. We do a segment called You Ask, We Answer, so people ask questions. A lot of the stuff was on some of roster manipulation and things into the year, so that'll be up later today. As soon as they make their cuts and we get an idea of the initial 53-man roster, we'll be doing our podcast. And then as we get to the season, we've got an interview coming up. We always do a piece with somebody from the other city. So we've got a guy in Arizona who's covered the Cardinals. That'll be the beginning of the week. So, you know, our normal week for Buffalo Plus on the YouTube channel is probably 5 to 6 different pieces each week. So you know, we're going to put up as much content as we can, always pregame, always postgame. So, you know, they make this old man work a little bit. So that's what we'll be doing. And really, it's now, but certainly it really ramps up once the season, the week leading into the season.
Danger, I texted Mike on Friday and I said, hey, would you have time? And it's like, yeah, between that and I'm also serving as the batting instructor for the Phillies. Well, what do you know? Back-to-back games of 11 runs scored for your Phillies. Mike, you're doing a great job.
I think they had 40-some hits since – you know what I just said? I looked at what George Costanza told, you know, Jeter back in that episode of Seinfeld, and they followed what I was doing. So Philly started hitting. Mets choked away a game. It's just – I mean, God, that had to hurt yesterday, didn't it? Up 2-0.
I want to be sympathetic to my co-host. He said he wasn't going to bring up baseball to you, and what did he do? He brought up baseball to you, and now here we are.
I was being complimentary, and that guy they lost to is going to be the NL Rookie of the Year. I mean, Merrill's pretty good.
Yeah, he hit the homer after he'd given up the lead. Hey, the Phillies got a stretch here, so they've got Houston. They're at home, but they've got Houston. Then they've got Atlanta. Like, there's still a lot of games left, but, man, I felt for you there because I thought, oh, the little Mets, they were getting close, and they were singing their song, and, you know, they got any other McDonald's characters there?
Well, it's the Hawktua girls' fault. If they don't make the postseason, they're blaming Hawktua.
That's classless, Mike, classless. I can't.
And think
that.
About that. Really? What has happened to New York sports? My God, the Giants with Tommy Cutlets and you guys with that person throwing out the first pitch.
The Knicks, Mike. Just get ready for the winter. That's what we can look forward to.
Yes. Second round exit. That's what you can look forward to.
Mike, appreciate the time as always, man. Have a great week.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Catalano, 13 Web Sports, BuffaloPlus.com. That's some great insight there from the icon on cut down day tomorrow.
I think he's right about the quarterback. Like, if Allen goes down, the season's over. No, that's not what we're talking about. Like, if Allen misses a few games, are we feeling good about Trubisky?
Can you get a win?
I'm really concerned. Like, oh, we got our guy, Kyle Allen. Come on down.
I don't think you're going to get better. I mean, that's why expansion in the NFL feels like it can't happen because there's such a scarcity of talent at quarterback. And there are so many teams that think they have their guy that don't have their guy. And those guys they're not the dude because they don't have the ability and they're just broken forever. And we talk about Sam Darnold and thinking to myself, all right, Sam Darnold's in a situation where this is the best situation he's been in as a pro. An opportunity for him to resurrect his career and make us forget about all of the bad throws and all of the bad games and all of the bad vibes around him from his time in Carolina and his time, of course, with the Jets. But there's a part of me that's like, well, he might just not be the dude. And that's as good as it's going to get for Sam Darnold.
Yeah, in this time of year, everything looks great. We're going to have four rookie starters. I do believe it's going to be Drake May in New England. Okay, so with the injury there. So you get May, you get Daniels, you get Caleb Williams, you get Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
None of the four have really faced what a defense will present to them. None of them tasted any adversity coming off a loss. So where everything looks great now, I mean, of those four, how many really do stick?
I would even say for teams that believe that they have, like, Anthony Richardson might be spectacular. He could be the second coming of Cam Newton, or he could be really, really bad. He could be an absolute train wreck, a roller coaster, right, because he's not good at throwing a football. The Raiders seem to believe that Gardner Minshew is going to find another gear. Good luck with that. Like, maybe these guys are just Mitch Trubisky's best days are behind him. His days of winning football games are behind him. He is a backup here and forevermore. And if you get called on, I don't have confidence that he's a guy that can get you a win over a two-game stretch. Or a three-game stretch. And that should be the test, right? Like, could you see that guy going in, leading a huddle, leading an offense, and getting you a W or two during an absence. And the Bills don't have that on their roster. But I feel like we have this conversation every year about backup quarterbacks, too. It's an evergreen topic this time of year.
Yeah, and well, one of these years, you know, you remember the Press Your Luck game show?
Yeah, to get the whammy.
No whammies. Yeah, like no whammies.
No whammies.
It's like the Bills have been fortunate in that regard.
We're going to talk to Ryan Talbot. More Buffalo Bills talk coming up in the 4 o'clock hour as well. Some more thoughts to share, including there's what did I see here? I saw that not just the CeeDee Lamb extension. Mm-hmm. I mean, this news is great for CeeDee Lamb. There's one team that this is not great news for, and I'm kind of sitting here pointing and laughing because it's –
It was preventable. Is that what you're saying?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course it was preventable. We'll discuss that. And we've got some other things around the NFL, some weird things going on around the NFL, whether you're talking about rule changes or vetoes to rule changes about emergency quarterbacks while we're on that topic. You've got what was this thing that our regular Chris sent us from Poland Cars?
Oh, yeah. Apparently, you can buy bonds in the stadium now.
Oh, okay. Well, great. We can talk about that.
Fantastic. Oh,
I know you have a week one game as
like
well.
A week one pick, too. And we got to talk a little bit about Aaron Judge, too.
Oh, he's spectacular. Oh, yeah. We'll get into that and more next. Ryan Talbot joining us here in just about a half an hour or so. You can join us at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.